Hi, this is Xavier Schley from the Build Alaska podcast series. We've discovered some previously recorded legacy videos that were produced for the Construction Industry Progress Fund to help capture the contribution of a generation of Alaskans to the construction industry. We've digitized these videos to help preserve their content and make them available to the public.
When I was first in Anchorage here in 1953, it was kind of a fun place to be. Fourth Avenue was just one big long bar. It was just bar after bar after bar. And I remember the Montana Club, which was on the corner of about, Cordova, somewhere in there, and Fourth. They didn't have any locks on the doors. They were open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the Union Club was the working men's bar. In the Union Club, when you went in there with your paycheck, they cashed your paycheck all right, but they kept all the odd cents. In other words, if you had a paycheck $120.50, they kept the 50 cents. But of course, you always went and bought a drink at the bar. They weren't dumb. So they did pretty well at it. But anyhow, that's kind of how I got into Anchorage here. Did I cover all the bases there, Henry, on the first part of this thing?
I wouldn't know. I wasn't here then.
You don't know. Okay. Do you have any questions?
No, I remember you from just about those days when I came up here.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm still ahead of that.
When you was with Purchase, so you're still ahead.
Yeah, I'm still ahead. Yeah. But anyhow, I worked there for the years in putting those two roads in here in Anchorage. And then since I was a graduate engineer, I was a rarity here with the Alaska Road Commission. They transferred me to Juneau to be in bridge design because I had the knowledge to do structural design. So I went down there and I went into Juneau. Juneau was just a fun town. That was the government seat at that time. There was about 25, 2700 people there. And they had, I counted them up before I came down here just to be sure, there were 19 bars and 2700 people. So you do the math and it was well equipped. And it was a lot of fun. They had a lot of single secretaries there, a lot of single guys there working, so there was a lot of social activity. And it was just a fun place to be. The phone system there was still operator plug board. I remember that you picked up your phone, and our phone in our apartment was red 926. And they had four parties on a line. There was red, green, black, and green. And you picked up the phone, and the operator came on, and you said, I'd like to talk to black 207. She'd plug you into black 207. Mm-hmm. Or she'd say, well, there's no sense in me plugging you in because I just saw them walking down the street. So it was kind of very personal down there. But that was the phone system in Juneau. And I remember John McKinnon here, who's here now, his folks were there. They were running the laundry, Alaska Laundry and Cleaners. And it was just a fun place to be. And I worked there in bridge design, and then the next year they put me out on bridge construction in Cantwell. And Cantwell, of course, was another interesting place to be. Cantwell was kind of the time that I got there was kind of a fun town. Just east of Cantwell was the Indian Village, and the Indian Village being there was kind of interesting in itself. Because how it all got there is also kind of interesting. The Valdez Creek Mine, which was located halfway between the Richardson Highway and the Anchorage-Fairbanks Highway on the Susitna River there, the Valdez Creek was a rich gold mining camp. And, of course, that was placer, so they needed a lot of labor. So the people that ran that gold mine in the teens and 20s, they hired Indians out of the Copper River area, the Otnas, to come up and work. And of course, when the railroad came in 1919, I guess it got into Cantwell, of course, then it was easier to, instead of freighting from the Richardson Highway over, it was easier to freight from the railhead over. So the Indians stayed there, but when they closed the mines down in the Second World War, as President Roosevelt shut all the gold mines down, all those Indians moved into Cantwell and they worked on the railroad. And they stayed right there at Cantwell, and that was the Indian Village there. In fact, one of them that I knew, Jake Tansey, just died here, I believe within the last year, 96 or something like that. But I worked there on four bridges. And the Denali Highway itself is kind of an interesting thing. In those years, the Alaska Road Commission originally started out as in the Department of War, and it was transferred to the Department of Interior in 1932. And when it got into the Department of Interior, you had the Alaska Railroad, you had the National Park Service, and you had the Alaska Road Commission, which kind of had a joint interest there. And I don't know whether you know it or not, but originally, of course, the railroad owned the McKinley Park Hotel. It's the Denali Park Hotel now, but it was still McKinley Park Hotel in those days. And the railroad owned that hotel, and they brought tourists in, very few of them. They had two buses and a couple of limousines there to go out in the park, and that was it. But the road from the park out through the park was built not to serve the park. It was built to serve Kantishna, the mining area. And that was the reason the road was there. Well, became the road commission. That was an active mining area, and the road commission served mines, built mine roads and those things, and they wanted to connect that road up, both for two reasons, for the park service so they could improve tourism and for the mining. The Alaska Railroad said, no way, no how are you going to parallel our line. You cannot build a road from Fairbanks down or from Anchorage up because that'll cut into our revenue. And they were the king of the hill, the Alaska Railroad, so the decision was made to come across on the Denali Highway from Paxson over to Cantwell and on up into the hotel. And that road got started, and I worked on that. It was eventually opened in 1957. But that's how that road happened to be where it was at. In 1956, when I finished up at Cantwell, putting in a bunch of bridges there, and one of them was the Susitna Bridge. When I finished that, I went to Kodiak and worked at Kodiak down there for the rest of the summer, doing some of the roads in Kodiak. We were surveying a road out to Ozinki, and never got built, but we surveyed it. And I lived in Kodiak that summer, did some bridge work, took a bunch of Boy Scouts fishing, which was a disaster in itself. We flew out there in a Grumman Goose, and they dumped me off with about 12 of these 11, 12-year-old boys to go fishing, and that's fine, except we're in Euganic Bay, which is right in the Brown Bear country there. And I said, I want you kids to stay near the beach so I can keep track of you. And I turned around to get my fishing gear out of the airplane. When I turned back around, there wasn't a kid in sight. You know, this is the way it worked. But anyhow, they caught a bunch of fish, and we had fish to eat, but there was no butter, no salt, so we had fish. But in any event, I went back to Juneau and spent some time down there. And in 1956, the Interstate Act passed. And the Interstate Act was kind of interesting because it excluded Alaska from the interstate, but it did include it in the ABC program, which was the basic federal aid highway program. And when they included us in that, they cut our land. The ABC funds were distributed by percentage of land area, percentage of population, those kinds of things. There was a formula where they determined who got what out of the pot. Well, Alaska had such huge land area that the Congress couldn't go for that, so they cut our land area to a third, and those are the monies we got. And when we got those monies, that was the time, of course, when we started really getting into the contracting business, because then we had money to spend, and we had to improve highways, build highways. So and we did a lot of that.
We're going to change your microphone battery here real quick, right? We're getting an intermittent, we're not sure why, but it kind of comes and goes here this last couple seconds.
That's pretty typical with me. I kind of come and go.
Bruce wore the first battery out. That's typical.
You are.
Is this going okay?
Yes, going great. We do need to know a little bit about AGC, though. This is a little bit about them.
Well, AGC hasn't really got in the picture yet.
Yeah, it's coming. I know that. I can hear it. You've mentioned it, though.
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you continue? I'm going to go get another battery.
Sure.
Okay? Enjoy, gentlemen. There's more coffee, too. Did you want some more coffee, sir?
Sure.
Yeah, we better do that before we go too far. Sir?
No, I'm trying. I'm one cup a day. And that cup went in and it's back out.
It's amazing. You're talking about the road to Kenai back in the 50s, you said? So there was a completed, the spur highway was complete in and of itself. And then the
Kenai spur highway was completed in 1949, but you couldn't drive to it from Anchorage till 1951. The road around Turnagain Arm was constructed, was opened in 1951. And that was, I didn't mention that, but that MK did the work around the arm. Are we on?
Yes, we're ready whenever.
Well, 1956, the Interstate Act passed. And as I mentioned, Alaska was included in the Interstate Act to a degree. We got to participate in what they call the ABC program, the primary, secondary, and urban program, but we did not get to participate in the interstate program. So in order to get money in that, they used a formula for all the states to how much money they got out of the tax money that went in to fund it. They only used a third of Alaska's land area, but we did get substantial monies. So in that point in time, that's when construction of highways in Alaska really started taking off. There was a little lag time because we didn't have designs ready to go at that point, so we let out some major consulting engineering contracts to get roads going, and we did a lot of in-house work, hired more people, did in-house work ourselves to get more plans out so that we could get more construction out. And that's when the AGC kind of came into the major picture here. At this time, all the Alaska Road Commission force account work, that is, work by their own forces, pretty much ceased. There was very, very little after that. It was pretty near all by contract. And I don't know what the percentage is, but I would say that probably 90% of it was by AGC members. It was they were the predominant force in it. And you had guys, as I mentioned, Birchlight and Green, you had MK, you had PK, you had Munter and Sons. I could go through and name quite a few others that were in on the initial stages of that construction. And we did things then like we rebuilt a lot of portions of the Anchorage Road system. The Richardson Highway all was rebuilt and paved. The Glen Highway was rebuilt and paved, again, by AGC members. And that went pretty well. We started locating at that point the other thing that happened that I almost forgot was when this Interstate Act passed, the Alaska Road Commission was transferred out of the Department of Interior into the Bureau of Public Roads. They put it all into one group, the BPR and the Alaska Road Commission, and then it became under the Department of Commerce, so the Alaska Railroad no longer had the stroke to stop the road from going up from Anchorage to Fairbanks. And that was one of the first projects that we started. And I was involved in that head over heels. I was head of road design down in Juneau. And at that time, we let a consultant contract to TAMS to design this road from Willow to Summit, which was the missing portion. And that was constructed under construction in the early 1960s. And then statehood came along in 1959. And things changed quite a bit again then. The BPR transferred all the issues over to the Alaska Road over to the new State Highway Department, and that was kind of interesting in itself. When the state took over in 1959, when they took over and formed the Department of Public Works, Dick Downing was the Commissioner of Public Works. They hired people from Wyoming and from New Mexico to help the new State Highway Department get going. That didn't work out too well. Those people were pretty much not familiar with Alaska conditions, Alaska people, size of Alaska, and those things, and just nothing really seemed to happen. So Governor Egan, who was our boss at that time, fired the whole bunch of them and created the Department of Highways by executive order. So then we had a new leadership. And in that period, after he fired all those people, he didn't know quite what to do for good leadership. But Roy Cheney, who was one of the executives of the AGC, suggested Don McKinnon, who was an ex-highway commissioner down in Montana. that he might be the guy that should head it up. And so he did. He hired Don McKinnon, and Don was in his 70s at the time and not in very good health, but nevertheless he came up and reorganized the department. And at that time, things took off.
Thank you for listening to the Alaska Works Podcast, brought to you by a generous contribution from the Construction Industry Progress Fund and the Associated General Contractors of Alaska.